It is the morning show. I'm Kate Archer Kent. Franchise businesses in Wisconsin this year are expected to grow by a fraction of a percent to just over 15,000 of them, adding about 3,200 new jobs. That's according to the Economic Outlook by the International Franchise Association. Citing economic headwinds like high inflation, labor shortages, and supply chain issues. Call in with a question, share a comment about franchising, 800-642-1234, email ideas at WPR.org. Jerry Aglipai is Regional Administrator for the U.S. Small Business Administration, overseeing SBA programs in the Great Lakes region of six states, including Wisconsin. Jerry, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Good morning.
Good morning. And Eric Ness here as well, Director for the U.S. Small Business Administration Wisconsin District Office. Eric, welcome.
Good morning.
Good morning. Well, Eric, let's start with you. Give us the lay of the land. What are the most popular or prolific franchises to own here in Wisconsin?
Well, just looking at kind of what we've been doing over the last couple of years, last year in 2022, we did about 136 loans to franchises. So far this year, we did about 90 loans to franchises. And basically, they're kind of all over the map, from service businesses, grocery stores, auto dealerships, restaurants. So it's like two, three, four loans in every different area. So there's not really one specific entity or area that we do most of our franchising loans to.
Are there some industries perhaps better suited for franchising, maybe food chains or hotels?
Well, of course they are. And naturally, as a consumer, when you go out and you decide where you want to eat or where you want to stay, a lot of those businesses are out there to basically, if you want to stay at a Super 8 or someplace like that, or go to a local restaurant. Of course, in Wisconsin, we have a number of franchises that have just started just in our state, including, you know, the Culver's and the Toppers and the Cousin Subs. And we have new businesses starting up two that are now working in or looking at franchising their businesses. So, you know, as a consumer, a lot of times we like to go to those places where we kind of know what we're going to get, right?
That strong brand identity. Yes. Jerry, to start a franchise, local owners pay these startup fees and there's royalty fees, operating fees. What are the average costs associated with opening and owning a franchise?
You know, that, excuse me, that really depends on the industry that they're opening the franchise for the average cost. What we have seen related to your earlier question is that, you know, under the Biden-Harris administration, we've seen the highest two consecutive years of business startups. And that includes business acquisitions, which is franchises as well. And the cost associated with that, the SBA can help support those costs in terms of the flexible capital that they can receive, lines of credit. We have a variety of lending products that can help them purchase a business for business acquisition, but can also help to buy the working capital that they need to support that franchise business as well.
When I scroll through the franchise options and the capital minimums, I don't know what else to call them, but just the amount of money you need in order to get that business off the ground, I wonder just how do you know the franchise is worth the investment capital that is required?
Well, you know, that's why the SBA has resource centers with partner resource centers, such as the small business development centers throughout the state of Wisconsin and actually throughout the country, in which prospective franchise owners can actually get access to no cost counseling and business development from paid certified full-time staff at these small business development centers. And they are throughout the state of Wisconsin. And in working with them, they can build out what their business plan is, understand what those costs up front are, but also what are some of the costs that they may not need to invest in, because there are many facets of a franchise that are turnkey, so to speak. So in reference to what Eric said earlier, it makes it easier in some cases to for business acquisition to get a franchise and to purchase a franchise, because there will be some brand recognition, but there'll be some turnkey aspects, which they can actually mitigate some of the startup costs as opposed to starting up from scratch for a franchise.
Jerry Aglipai is regional administrator of the U.S. Small Business Administration. Eric Ness is here, leads the SBA's Wisconsin office as we talk about franchises, the upstart costs associated with opening a local location, and getting at your questions about franchise businesses. The number to join in with your question is 800-642-1234. Eric, is there a typical timeline for Wisconsin franchise owners to see a return on their business investment or a break-even point?
Well, and typically what we're doing is we're looking at businesses that can start, and naturally, if we're doing a loan to them, we're naturally wanting them to be able to kind of turn this around pretty quickly so that they can make the loan payments and basically have make an income for themselves too, because that's the whole point of doing this. What really I think you need to spend a lot of time in is researching the specific franchise you're looking at. And actually on SBA.gov, we have a little bit of a five pager of just things to look at when you're considering, if you're considering a franchise or you're considering just buying a business that's just out there. So, I mean, that's really comes down to kind of a decision-making process for the entrepreneur to decide, you know, what are they interested in, or, you know, what kind of things do they want to do, and, you know, how much do they want to do it themselves. So franchise, as you know, helps them a little with the process. They have kind of a process built in that you're buying into. But then, of course, with that process, you're going to have some things you have to follow. And, you know, if you use their logo or you get their products, you have to kind of use their process. So,
yeah, I mean, there are these franchisor controls and contractual obligations. You know, with that, what limitations does this present to the entrepreneur, to the local business owner?
Well, I mean, you talked about costs initially, and initially it's typically an upfront cost. So you look at that, but don't just stop at the upfront cost, because there can be an ongoing cost, a percentage of sales or something of that sort. So we always want the entrepreneur not to just look at the upfront cost, but hey, how is this going to affect you down the road? Who can you buy products from? Say you sell a product. Does that mean you can buy from anybody, or can you only buy from specific people that have been set up through that franchisor? So basically, you know, basically the franchisor is the business, is the owner of or runs the franchise, and you being the entrepreneur or the franchisee. So you got to figure out how this all is going to work. And so going out and, you know, meeting with franchisors, but then also stopping in and looking at some franchisees just to see, hey, how does this work? You have to do your research.
Jerry, you know, here's a scenario. 2021, Subway launches a new menu. It's the most extensive makeover in the company's nearly 60-year history. That's from CNN Business. Are local franchise owners responsible for footing the bill of corporate rebranding when it's a major overhaul?
That really depends on the franchisor and the agreement that they have with the franchisor. Definitely the franchisee will have to absorb some of the customer acquisition costs, which includes some marketing and branding, which they're going to have to figure out with their business counselor, but also with the franchisor, who does provide guidance. And that is one benefit of going into a franchise, is that you have the guidance there of what a successful secret sauce, so to speak, what the formula is. So that would depend on what the industry is and what that agreement is in regards to those costs. But there's also, when you open up a franchise in a local neighborhood, it's also reflecting of doing your homework, not only for the industry, but who's your customer in that area, whether it's a Subway or a Cousin Sub, which I know is growing in the state of Wisconsin, or any other franchise, is understanding who the customers are and building in those marketing and customer acquisition costs for yourself, in addition to understanding and your agreement is what is the franchisor going to be responsible for, and what the owner is responsible for franchisees as well.
Examining aspects of running a franchise, we have the U.S. Small Business Administration Regional Administrator Jerry Aglipai and Eric Ness here, heads up the SBA's Wisconsin office. Join in the discussion on franchising. Call in with a question, comments, 800-642-1234. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. It is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent, examining the risks and rewards of being a franchise business in Wisconsin as entrepreneurs put up their own capital to use a larger company's business plan and branding. You can join in at any point about the franchise model. Call in with a question, share insights, 800-642-1234, email ideas at WPR.org. Jerry Aglipai is Small Business Administration Regional Administrator for Region 5. That includes Wisconsin. And Eric Ness is here, Wisconsin District Director of the SBA. Let's bring on Mike in Mequon. Hi, Mike.
Hello. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure. Go ahead.
I just wanted to comment that I'm an attorney. I'm a criminal defense attorney. I don't really work in the franchise area, but I know many people who do, and I really think it's very, very important that somebody who's looking at either buying an existing franchise, like buying an existing Culver's, or starting a new one, engage with a team of people that have had some experience in this area, and that would include like an attorney, an accountant, and maybe a consultant. And there are some resources that we have here in this state that are really exceptional, people who have done many, many, many franchise transactions and can help people avoid a lot of the pitfalls. There's also some offices within the state that are helpful, maybe a little less so than in some other states where they have very, very developed economic development programs for people who maybe haven't gone to college, but have saved up enough money that they want to start their own business. So there's folks that want to do this, they really need a team.
Mike, thank you so much for bringing that to the table. Eric, go ahead.
Yeah, naturally we agree because you can either, if you buy into a franchise, and much like the Subway example you brought up, if you didn't realize or hadn't written it or hadn't read your agreement that, you know, if they change things, you'll have to pay for things. If that's the case, those are the kind of things you need to know up front. And getting an attorney and an accountant, which, of course, we recommend on all small businesses, but especially on the franchise, to get a specific person to take a look at, you know, that understands franchise agreements, what am I getting into? Or, you know, what might happen down the road? You know, upgrading your store, whether you're a small business or a franchise, are probably positive things because you naturally are kind of dealing with competition. But if you haven't thought about that, you might have to pay for something like that or put it in your business plan or your budget. Then it, you know, when it happens, it can be quite devastating. And I think that's kind of what you are pointing out in the Subway example.
Jerry, and Eric, yes.
Oh, sorry.
No, go right ahead. That's where
I would say Eric makes a really great point. We recommend that for anybody who has a business, for any industry, a lawyer, an accountant, a consultant. They can access it one through SBA.gov and find an SBDC counselor throughout the state of Wisconsin at no cost. To support them. But part of owning a franchise is you are going to have to give up some control. And that attorney is an important component and somebody who can guide on what some of those nuances are in terms of what is some of the control that you would be giving up for some of those decision-making processes. So to get the guidance that you need from the franchisor on supporting the successful acquisition of the franchise and the startup or the continuation, so to speak, of it, you will be giving up some control, and that attorney can help read through the fine print, decipher what you can actually maybe possibly even negotiate Nothing is 100%. You can also negotiate, and that's what an attorney can support you with. The other benefit of franchise is you can bring in family members to help work at your franchise as well. We've seen that at many. We keep using the example of Culver's, but I see that at my local Culver's as well. So you're absolutely spot on point. So thank you for calling in, and the importance of why that attorney to have on hand, as well as a counselor and accountant, are three kind of the triads in looking at any business, but especially franchising.
Eric, let's turn to labor. We just saw the Bureau of Labor Statistics real earnings report coming out for May, and there is that small uptick in real wages. Workers seeing a slight increase in average hourly pay that's bigger than the overall bump up, if you will, in prices from inflation. How are franchises affected by real wage growth?
Well, they're affected like any other business, but one of the things that franchise have built in is they have a support network. And so basically, and what we try to do is have all small businesses kind of have a support network, because sometimes it can be lonely when you're a small business and you go, I can't find any employees. A lot of people use Chamber of Commerce, things of that sort, to try to kind of bounce off ideas from other business owners to say, hey, what can we do to try to bring in more employees? And of course, with a franchise or who's kind of dealing with that, not only in maybe your community, but the entire state or the entire nation, there might be some information or ideas also on how to try to bring in or maybe work for a different or look at a different dynamic. Different group of employees to kind of bring in that type of thing. So I think that this it's more of a support structure that you're probably going to be seeing with the franchisees.
Talking about the challenges and opportunities of a franchise business, Eric Ness there of the U.S. Small Business Administration, and Jerry Aglipai as well. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Jerry, I'm going to play a clip here. There was a recent episode from NPR's The Takeaway talking about the interrelationship between Black communities and the fast food chain McDonald's. And historian Marsha Chatelain, who wrote the book Franchise, The Golden Arches in Black America, here's what she had to say.
In the late 1960s, McDonald's proudly said that they were putting Black franchisees in Black neighborhoods. But over the decades, that has been the basis of racial discrimination lawsuits, because we also know that communities of color have challenges for business owners who want access to capital, who pay often higher rates for insurance.
So how could corporations, parent companies, better support Black franchisee owners?
Well, the SBA is actually under President Biden and Administrator Guzman. We've made a commitment to equity and leveling the field for access to capital for Black and Brown business owners in particular. We've recently released updates to our lending programs, to our 7(a) and 504, by actually finalizing rules that are designed to address persistent access to capital gaps impacting underserved entrepreneurs who are also in historically socioeconomically disadvantaged community. And that's part of the Biden-Harris administration's Investing in America agenda. So for that, we are making sure that we are intentionally broadening access to capital so that Black business owners, brown business owners, minority business owners in rural and urban areas have more opportunities to access the capital that they need, in addition to the no-cost counseling assistance to help them not only not access that capital, but manage that capital too, in order to build wealth in Wisconsin and in America.
Eric, rural Wisconsin has more startup businesses than the state's urban centers, and that's from a 2022 report from UW-Madison. Do you expect franchise growth this year in rural parts of Wisconsin? What do you see in the differences between the population centers?
Well, sometimes there's different needs, and especially going into rural communities, maybe the larger franchises aren't wanting to go into some of the smaller communities. But then what we've seen are smaller franchises who are kind of targeting those type of markets. And so that's what's kind of interesting is to see how business kind of kind of morphs into seeing what needs are out there, you know, and say, hey, maybe you don't have the big coffee chain going on in a smaller town, but here's a smaller a coffee chain that really is focused on the rural community. So basically, that's kind of an interesting niche to kind of watch some of those businesses as they, you know, find a niche and then kind of learn how that market works and then what kind of products works in that area. So then, you know, well, you're an entrepreneur in rural Wisconsin and say, you know, hey, will this work here? Will I get enough customers? And if you have a franchisor who has done others in those kind of areas, they can kind of give you a feedback of, you know, am I going to have enough
Sure.
customers to make this thing work?
Thank you both for joining us.
Thank you.
It's great to be here. It's our 70th year of being with the SBA has been around for 70 years helping small business. So we're really happy to be talking to
Happy
people.
Happy birthday.
The
yes. Eric Ness, Director of the U.S. Small Business Administration, Wisconsin District Office, and Jerry Aglipai, overseeing operations in the Great Lakes region. I'm Kate Archer Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. It is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer Kent. We examine the future of franchising, what it's like being a franchise owner here in Wisconsin. Call in with a question or comment about these business ventures, 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Jeff Tews is a multi-franchisee, co-owns Bright Star Care and Bright Star Senior Living, providing in-home care, assisted living, and medical staffing in Wisconsin, manages 8 territories in Wisconsin. Jeff, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
And we also have Susan Balgren, also a multi-franchisee, opened her first Culver's location in Madison almost 30 years ago, co-owns 5 other locations. Susan, welcome. Oh, and I'm sorry, Susan, not quite here yet. Susan, can you hear us? Nope, we're just having a little bit of trouble getting Susan on the line. Let's start with you, Jeff. You and your wife co-own this healthcare agency, Bright Star Care. What inspired you to enter the healthcare industry and open these franchisees?
Sure. Well, it's a very easy story for me to tell in that I had 33 years of corporate experience. And when one of those jobs came to an end, I stepped back and I took what Susan calls the summer of Jeff, and I rode my bike and I waxed the cars and I made dinner and I cleaned the house. And I thought about, what do I want to do next? Because I had this opportunity to think about that. And it really struck me that I wanted to have my own business and I wanted to be helping others. And I could easily see the structure, the things that I had done in my other jobs that were successful, of leading a large team, empowering managers, and focusing on customer service. And that led me to franchising, not being an inventor of a system. It provided a great opportunity for me to get started quickly in a business with some great support.
You also had a mother struggling with Alzheimer's. What impact
Yes.
did that have on
well,
this? Yeah,
absolutely a large impact. My sister was providing care for her out in central Minnesota, and being in Madison, it was, I took my task to try to find care that could supplement what my sister was doing, and found it to be really difficult to find the kind of caring nature that that I knew my mom needed. And then discovered Bright Star through a discovery process. And the first time we were there for a discovery visit where we both explore each other, I sat next to Bonnie, their customer care manager, and she answered the phone. And her first words were, "That must be really hard for you. I can help you." Mm. And my heart just melted. I thought, oh my gosh, that's exactly what I'd been looking to try to find. And And I found Brightstar had that as one of their strong points in coaching people around how do you take those calls? How do you treat customers? How do you treat your employees? And it just was a great match for that desire on my part to provide real value to families and to employees.
Thank you for sharing that personal story. I want to turn now to Susan, taking us back to 1996 when you opened your first Culver's franchise in Madison. Why did you take that step?
Well, with Jeff, it was just an opportunity to think about what did I really want to do with the rest of my life. I had a nursing career that I truly enjoyed, and the caretaking part of that and just working with individuals with their health concerns and just some of the wellness issues that needed to be addressed. I said, you know, this is a good thing. I enjoy this, but if I really want to do what I'd like to do for the rest of my life, I decided I would look into something that I knew, and that was working in restaurants. I had, excuse me, I had worked in restaurants all through high school and in college to put myself through college. And I knew that facet. So I said, okay, go to something that you enjoy and something else that you know of. And I then looked at several franchises in the restaurant industry. And when I came upon Culver's, I spoke to my father and I said, you know, what do you know about this family? Because one of the things I've learned is whenever you work with someone, you always have to find out who they are and what they stand for. What are their values? And my dad said, they're a good family. I think you would do well. And so that's when I pursued the Culver's franchise. And I look back and I never regret it because it's been wonderful for me.
And fast forward to now, you co-own multiple Culver's restaurants in Wisconsin and Illinois. How long did it take for you to scale up and to see that return on your first franchise investment? What was that like?
Well, my first franchise was in 1996, and then my second restaurant was in 2001. So I had to get my feet underneath me just to be able to say, I know what I'm doing, I know how to do this, and I can do it successfully. And that's when I pursued the 2001 franchise. And I have a business partner that I work with who actually worked with me at the Todd Drive store. So it was an easy transition. And from there, I added other business partners, one being my daughter, who has been involved in many of the franchises. So obviously, I have that long-term relationship with her, and I know that I can work with her, which has been also a blessing. So it's been good. It's been, you know, it's been a journey, and people keep saying, you know, will you do another? And I say, I'm not sure. But for right now, six is good.
Six is good. And in those early days, you were working every day, just all throughout the year. You know, those early days, I would imagine, were tougher than now.
You know, I think there is a different toughness now than there was then. At the time that I opened up the first location on Todd Drive, I had many people wanting to work. And at this time, the struggle is trying to just get employees to come to work, first of all, apply, and then come to work and stay committed. Fortunately for me, I've had some long-term employees. In fact, some of the people have been with me from day one. So that's been an easier journey for me to be able to count on those people. But with new locations, it's always starting over, trying to establish that base for your staffing as well as your management. And so that's been the hardest part for me.
We're going to dig more into workforce in a moment. Susan Bulgren there, also a multi-franchisee, co-owns multiple Culver's locations. And Jeff Tews is here, multi-franchisee as well, co-owns multiple Brightstar Care locations in Wisconsin and Brightstar Senior Living. You can join in about franchising, 800-642-1234, email ideas at WPR.org. Jeff, the Government Accountability Office found in a recent study that franchisees tend to lack the basic control over their operations. Do you see those types of limitations as a franchise owner?
I don't see them as limitations. It really helped provide the structure for our business. So a franchise disclosure document is required by the Federal Trade Commission that monitors franchising. And it really lays out very clearly what things the franchisor is going to provide and what you as a franchisee are going to be responsible for. So I don't see it as a control. I see it as really good guidance that helps you get started quickly, much quicker than you would on your own. Systems are established, processes and procedures are laid out to give you a really fast start. So I don't see it as a hindrance. I see it as a real advantage.
Susan, what type of operational guidance do you receive from your parent company at Culver's?
Well, similar to what Jeff has just shared, we also had a franchise document which spelled out everything that was expected of us and required of us. And we have a very strong support system within the Culver franchising system. Anytime there's any question that we would have, whether it be marketing or operations or employment, whatever that might be, we have a direct call to the corporate office and they then support us. So it's very strong and there's never a concern that I wouldn't have that support. In fact, that's one of the reasons why I decided to do a franchise.
Do you get visits by field staff visits from the parent company, or do they visit your locations?
All the time, yes. In fact, there's always an opportunity for them to drop in at any moment, which is a good thing because it keeps us on our toes. And we also have market meetings on a quarterly basis where we have a chance to get together with other franchisees to discuss issues that are going on within the system as well as within our own individual businesses. So it's very hands-on support.
Jeff, can you explain the territory concept with where you're at with Bright Star Care in eight territories? How does that work with the territory system?
Or you commit to and purchase the rights for a physical territory, and they really define them by zip codes. So the zip codes in that take up the Dane County area was our first territory that we committed to. And so you've got the opportunity for there not to be another Bright Star owner within that territory. So it gives you those rights to operate in those zip codes.
Who's responsible for carrying out market studies on an area or a territory to make sure that it can support a franchise?
Sure. The franchisor does provide some of that data. I also did much of the research myself. When you start digging into Google, you can find lots of things about what's the average income of seniors, how many seniors are in a territory that are generally our audience. You can certainly do the search to find out who the competitors are. Then it's really a discovery process of your own to start going out. Our business is one that's referral based. So discharge planners in a hospital or a skilled nursing facility are looking to have somebody provide care for their patients going home. And those folks are very important to your success. And going out and building those relationships becomes one that's the franchisee responsibility to do. As Susan has already mentioned, we get great support from them around systems and process, but the customer and handling the employees is on the franchisee.
All that relationship making, yes. Multi-unit franchisee owners, Jeff Tews there with Bright Star Care and Bright Star Senior Living. Susan Bulgren here with Culver's. You can join in your thoughts and questions about franchising. Call 800-642-1234. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. It is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. The franchise model, it continues to grow as a way that entrepreneurs choose to start a small business. But the Federal Trade Commission recently highlights potential risks to franchise business owners. Call in with the question, share your experience, 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. We have Susan Bulgren and Jeff Tews. They're multi-franchisee owners in Wisconsin in a restaurant chain and in in-home care, respectively. Susan, let's talk about labor and wages. At your Madison location, I understand you employ roughly 70 to 75 workers. And as the restaurant industry experiences a labor shortage, how do you remain competitive against surrounding restaurants?
Well, absolutely. It's been a real struggle. And this is more so became that struggle, I would say, 5 years ago. And the way we manage that is increase wages, supply more of the benefits that individuals are expecting, which is something that I would that I've done before. And I've just enhanced those benefits.
The most valuable?
I would say wages for the individuals. They like to see that money on their check.
Okay. And, you know, how do you feel about hiring adults over teens? What is that age mix like for you?
You know, teens are just as productive as adults. In fact, I always say that, you know, you look at the individual and you say, where do they fit in the system? Because that's what you need to look at. And when I first opened the Todd Drive location in 1996, I worked with three 16-year-olds every weekend to open up the restaurant and run my lunch hour. And they were just phenomenal individuals because they had a work ethic and they came to work. So for me, it doesn't matter whether you're 14 or whether you're 85. As long as you're willing to come to work and do the job that's necessary, I'm happy to hire you.
Jeff, turning to you on labor, Wisconsin, in the midst, as you know, of a deficit of more than 8,000 healthcare positions across the state. That's according to the State Department of Workforce Development. What challenges is the labor shortage creating for your franchises?
Well, yeah, we've got 500 employees. They're our product. When you don't have people to go to shifts, you can't help a family, and your business stops with that family. So it's very important. It's the most important thing we have. The opportunity to be able to provide a full benefit plan. We're paying 75% of their healthcare benefits. We've got a 401k with a match. That differentiates us with several of the other home care agencies. So we get a longer lasting employee with that expense. It's obviously it's an investment on our part, but again, they're our product, and we need to care for them just as we care for our families that we're serving. They've got crazy lives going on. Susan and I could write a book about the types of adventures that we've found with our employees, and they're out there operating on their own. We've got a nurse involved in each case that also gets engaged with the employees to make sure they have the training and understand what needs to be done. And those nurses also work as support people to help the direct care staff.
How do you diminish turnover in direct care staff? Because those are relationships on the front line with families.
Exactly. It starts with the hiring, as Susan has mentioned. You really need to get people that are compassionate and really want to provide the care. It quickly People separate themselves from us if they are not tolerant of being able to provide the care. And some of the challenges that our clients with Alzheimer's and they're looking to continue to be independent, and now the daughter has decided they're going to have somebody in their home, and they've got to have the nature to be able to turn that around and gain the client's support. So it's really a rather complicated process of interviewing and hiring to be able to find people that match that need. But when you do and they get a match with a family, it's magic.
Talking about the life and times of local franchise operations, and Jeff Tews, Susan Bulgren, stay with us. Susan, what are your views on the strength of your managerial staff? Because you essentially have to leave facilities in their hands on a daily basis.
Absolutely. And one of the questions that we ask a manager, a potential manager, when we're hiring is, are you committed to doing what's necessary to make this a successful shift, a successful day, a successful month for us? And not only us being the owners, but also for them as a part of the team. And we definitely look at those individuals who, express that they are part of a team and that they want to be part of the family. And it's typically been a very good and positive relationship. And for those people who then come into the system and they say, this isn't quite what I want to do, we express our thanks to them, and then we have them move on. But again, as I had said earlier in the conversation, I have individuals who have been with me since day one, back in 1996. So once you find those people, as Jeff said, you take care of them. You do whatever it is necessary to keep them within your system.
Jeff, perhaps the final word here. What is the outlook like for the franchise business climate in Wisconsin? What do you see down the road?
It's a great opportunity for people. The one large threat is that we as employers lose some control over our employees by having the Labor Department decide that the franchisor is a joint employer. We own that responsibility, and the franchisor provides the system and the support that we've described, but they really don't have the relationship with the employees. And there's some pressure from the federal government to have the franchisors declared a joint employer of those employees. So that's probably the largest challenge facing franchising right now.
Thank you both for joining us.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Jeff Tews, franchisees, co-owns Brightstar Care, Brightstar Senior Living, and Susan Bulgren, also a multi-franchisee, opened her first Culver's location in Madison almost 30 years ago, co-owns five other locations. I'm Kate Archer Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network.